The WBFO Brief Podcast is made possible by Roswell Park Comprehensive Cancer Center. Access to the newest treatments and most sophisticated testing is so important. It matters where you receive your cancer care. Spend one day with Roswell Park. Visit roswellpark.org.
Today's WBFO Brief was recorded at around 8:30 in the morning. This is WBFO News.
Another packed house is likely for tonight's meeting of the Amherst Town Board as activists continue to ramp up their opposition efforts. Last Wednesday, the group Amherst Concerned Citizens delivered to the town clerk their petition for a permissive referendum, which was signed by 4,574 citizens. The group is calling into question recent spending items approved by the town board and the 11.4% increase in property taxes. They're seeking to put the spending plans to a townwide vote. Cattaraugus County Sheriff's deputies report they've charged a 42-year-old woman who allegedly drove with her husband on the hood of the vehicle, his arm stuck in the window. Following the reported incident, Rose Bickford of the village of Cattaraugus was charged with assault in the third degree and reckless endangerment. Her husband, Donald Bickford, sustained arm injuries but declined medical treatment. Former Grand Island Town Supervisor Nate McMurray will not be able to run in the Democratic primary for New York's 26th congressional seat after a decision by the New York State Board of Elections. The board found that only 655 of the 1,453 signatures on Murray's petition were valid, leaving him well short of the 1,250 signatures required. Murray, who was seeking to challenge State Senator Tim Kennedy in a Democratic primary, confirmed the development of a lengthy social media post, and while he blasted Kennedy for a number of policies, he said, quote, "I hope Tim does great." Crime Stoppers are offering a reward to help in the search for the man suspected in the shooting deaths of two men at a Zender Street home on Saturday afternoon. Buffalo police say Abu Youssef and Babul Mea were shot and killed by somebody inside the house at 148 Zender Street. The victims were reportedly at the scene to conduct work around the house, which was believed to have been vacant. Police surrounded the structure for several hours Saturday afternoon before it was determined the suspect had already fled the scene. Tuesday's special election will determine who will take over the 26th congressional seat left vacant when Brian Higgins resigned from office earlier this year. Nearly 11,000 people have already cast their ballots during the 9 days of early voting in Erie County, with 1,296 participating on Sunday. WBFO reached out to both major party candidates with a series of campaign questions, and to date, Democratic State Senator Tim Kennedy has yet to respond. The Republican candidate, Town of West Seneca Supervisor Gary Dixon, provided extensive responses to 9 different questions, and that can be found at WBFO.org. And analysts believe the recent rise in gasoline prices will slow in the coming weeks. According to the AAA of Western and Central New York, demand for gas is slowing, which should ease the trend of rising prices. The average price in Buffalo for a gallon of unleaded gasoline stands at $3.60, following an increase of 4 cents over the last week. The national average fell 2 cents in the last week and now stands at $3.66 per gallon.
This WBFO Brief podcast is made possible by Canisius University, where high-flying grifts find a top-flight education. For the last 8 years, Canisius has been recognized on U.S. News' list of best colleges and universities. Learn more at canisius.edu.
Governor Kathy Hochul is highlighting changes in New York's reading curriculum that were approved as part of the state budget. Karen DeWitt has more.
Beginning as early as this fall, children in New York will be taught to read using the phonics method. The technique teaches reading by having students sound out the word. It was common during the middle of the last century, but it fell out of favor in recent decades as what's known as the whole word method, which involves memorizing the entire word, took over. Hochul says data shows that the phonics method greatly improves children's reading skills, and she says the state will now return to it as part of her Back to Basics plan. She spoke at the Albany School of Humanities, a public magnet school for pre-K through 6th grade, where the phonics method has been taught since 2016.
And I'll tell you what, the numbers tell the story. The number of Albany students in grades 3 through 8 passing the state ELA exam has increased by nearly 50%. That's incredible. Let's give that a round of applause. I mean, that's
Hochul says 67% of third graders in the school were found to be proficient in English, compared to the statewide average of just 45%. The state currently ranks in the lowest third of all 50 states for reading proficiency. The new state budget requires that all schools adopt the phonics method by the 2025-26 school year. It also provides $10 million to train 20,000 teachers at the State University of New York at New Paltz, where a micro-credentialing course in phonics is offered.
SUNY New Paltz is perhaps the only place in the nation that has a micro-credential in this, so we're sending teachers there to get this additional learning, and they're coming back and going right into the schools.
Hochul earlier dropped another education-related budget initiative. She wanted to end the provision known as Halt Harmless. That guaranteed that no school district received less money in the budget than it did the previous year. The plan proved unpopular among school leaders and state lawmakers, and it was scrapped in favor of a study to examine the best way to redistribute school aid based on whether a school district is losing or gaining population. Overall, the state is set to spend $36 billion on schools in the new fiscal year. In Albany, I'm Karen DeWitt.
The Ontario legislature has become a focus of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. Correspondent Dan Karpachuk has more.
Speaker of the House Ted Arnett unleashed the controversy when he banned the keffiyeh in the legislature.
The keffiyehs are a political statement, in my opinion.
He was then called on by every party to reverse that ban. Even Premier Doug Ford joined the call.
It really comes down to uniting Ontarians and communities. We see the division right now that's going on. It's not healthy, and this would just divide the community even more.
The keffiyeh is a black and white checkered scarf commonly worn by Arabs. It has special significance to Palestinians as a symbol of resistance and has been seen more and more worn by pro-Palestinian demonstrators. The opposition New Democratic Party put forward a motion calling for the entire legislature to have the ban rescinded. Here's NDP party leader Merritt Stiles.
I seek unanimous consent that this House acknowledge that the keffiyeh is a culturally significant clothing item to many in Ontario's Palestinian, Muslim, and Arab communities.
But the motion was defeated. One MLA from Doug Ford's Conservative Party who said no was Robin Martin.
The decision was the correct decision, in my view. We have to follow the rules of the legislature. Otherwise, we politicize the entire debate inside the legislature, and that's not what it's about.
Several days ago, Sarah Jama, an independent legislator, refused to remove her keffiyeh at Queen's Park. She was banned from returning for the rest of the day. She calls the keffiyeh ban racist and arbitrary and has pledged to continue wearing the scarf.
I'll definitely continue as I'm here to continue to wear it.
The order for Jama to leave the legislature and to be barred from voting upset some legislators, including the NDP's Merritt Stiles.
I am appalled. And I think I speak for everyone here on this side of the House. And I actually believe I speak for many on the other side of the House as well.
By the weekend, several dozen protesters gathered outside Premier Ford's constituency office in West Toronto. One of them was Fred Hahn, the president of the Ontario branch of the Canadian Union of Public Employees.
It means a great deal and many different things to many different people. It is irrational and it is racist that it is being banned in the Ontario legislature. It's why we're here today.
Protesters want Premier Ford to reverse the ban. And the New Democratic Party's Merritt Stiles has given Ford until May the 6th to step in and reverse it, or her party will defy the ban. For WBFO News, I'm Dan Karpachuk in Toronto.
Don't forget to like or subscribe so you can help others find this podcast. And if you love it, leave a review too. The WBFO Brief Podcast and the award-winning journalism of WBFO's news team are made possible by our members. Thank you for listening.